I'm Mark Bayshore. Thank you for joining us. It's cherry season in the Mitten State. This week, hundreds of thousands of the fruit's biggest fans made their way to Traverse City for the annual Cherry Festival. The self-proclaimed cherry capital of the world is known for all kinds of cherry products, from jam to wine. But cherries aren't the only things that go into those jam jars and wine bottles. There's also the decades of research that have helped make Michigan one of the world's top cherry producers. Joining us to talk about the science behind Michigan's cherry industry is MSU Professor of Horticulture, Amy Iazzoni. Welcome to Current State, Amy.
Thank you.
You've been studying Michigan cherry crops for a couple of decades now. How did you first get interested in cherries?
Well, I'm a plant breeder, and I got interested in cherries because they're such a wonderful fruit to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different types and tastes in cherry, and I just wanted to be able to bring those to the consumers. The other thing is that the producers have a lot of challenges when they grow cherries, and so I got really interested in whether I could help them make their production a little easier and a little more profitable for them.
It's a high-maintenance kind of product or fruit?
It's a high-risk type of fruit to grow. You know, our weather's been wacky.
Yeah.
And when we have an early spring, we can lose a lot of fruit like we did in 2002 and 2012.
Indeed.
That can be a high risk. And then when we have a year like this, when it rains constantly, the diseases can get out of control.
Mm. You work specifically with tart cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the obvious difference in taste, are there big differences between what goes into growing a sweet versus a tart cherry crop?
Well, sweet cherries are usually hand-harvested for the fresh market, although Michigan does a lot of mechanical harvest of sweets for processing. But that's the big difference, because if you're growing sweet cherries for fresh market, you have to hand harvest, and therefore you would grow the trees very differently than you would grow tart cherries that are mechanically harvested.
Okay, so it's possible to harvest more tart cherries for that reason?
With fewer people,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Why do cherries do so well here?
Michigan has a really good climate for cherries because the soils are light. They're sandy soils, think sand dunes. And then we have a lake, Lake Michigan, that buffers the cold weather usually. It delays the warming up in the spring, and so we usually don't get frost. And then we also have a cold enough winter that cherries get enough chilling requirement. For example, you'd never see a cherry grown in Texas because it needs a certain amount of cold.
Mm-hmm. But it's soil as well.
It's soil as well. It's a sandy soil.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You're one of the country's only tart cherry breeders. Tell us just a little bit about the science that goes into creating a better cherry crop.
Okay, a better cherry variety. The science is I make crosses the old-fashioned way. I'm the bee. So I have two parents, one that would bring a really good trait, and the others would bring other traits that together complement each other. And so I make crosses, and I select among progeny for varieties that may have potential for the industry.
Amy Iazzoni is a professor of horticulture here at Michigan State and one of the country's only tart cherry breeders. We're talking to her about her work with the Michigan cherry industry. When you started at Michigan State in 81, mm-hmm. as I recall, there was only one variety of tart mm-hmm. cherry growing in the state,
mm-hmm.
correct? You actually went to collect different varieties of tart cherries in Eastern Europe before
yes.
the fall of the Soviet Union. How did that trip come about?
What happened is that cherries are not native to the U.S. They all came from Eastern Europe or
no
Asia.
No kidding.
Yes.
Hmm.
And so every cherry tree came from Europe.
Mm.
And tart cherries in particular were from Eastern Europe. And so not many had made their way to the U.S. The Montmorency cherry grown in the U.S. came from France in the 1800s. But because of the Cold War, nobody had gone. So I went behind the Iron Curtain, and the germplasm was incredible because people love their cherries over
there. What is that?
The diversity.
Okay.
The genetic diversity is amazing because in those countries, people have a cherry tree in their yard. They ate the cherries off those trees. And mm-hmm. so you could go from village to village and find the cherry trees people like. And in one village from Hungary, there was a variety that the people had propagated. I brought that variety to the U.S. It did really well. And it's named Balaton after the lake in Hungary. Lake Balaton is the largest freshwater lake in Hungary. And that cherry is real different from Montmorency. Montmorency is really good for pies and jams, but Balaton is really good for the fresh market because it's a firm, dark juice cherry.
Are Balatons growing in Michigan?
They are. So you can buy Montmorency and Balaton.
How exciting.
Yeah, it's like different types of cherries. So you can, for those who are real cherry aficionados, you should try both. Mm.
What was it like to get a peek behind the Iron Curtain when that so much of that part of the world was kept hidden from America?
It was shocking. From a personal standpoint, it was very much the Big Brother. I had Securitate on me, and I was collecting pollen to bring back to make crosses in the U.S., and I remember I got accused of smuggling heroin at the Romanian border.
Good grief.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I had government permission, but the scientists were wonderful.
So this would have been 80s. What year were you there?
In the 80s, 83, 85, Ceausescu, okay. The Romanian Revolution was in 89.
What's important about having a diverse cherry crop?
Well, what it means is that there's a diversity in product for consumers. For example, most of the cherry wine made in Michigan is a blend between Montmorency and Balaton because it just brings different flavors to the wine. And so there are different products. The other thing is it reduces production risks because Montmorency and Balaton bloom at a slightly different time. They ripen at a slightly different time, so it makes it easier to harvest for processors to manage their harvesting and processing plant.
You mentioned the hit that cherry farmers in Michigan took when the early frost killed off. Well, first the temperatures warmed up, and then the cold weather returned here just a couple of Marches ago. Are Michigan cherry growers still feeling the effects of that, or is that safely in the past?
Oh, I hope it's safely in the past. The problem comes when big buyers opt out of cherries because of that, mm-hmm. because they invest in cherries a lot of time as an ingredient. So a cereal company may not want to invest in using cherries as an ingredient if they have risks in getting that supply.
We've got less than a minute. How has this year's cherry harvest compared to previous years here in Michigan?
On average, 50% is an estimate.
Okay. And I have to ask you, your favorite way to eat a tart cherry?
Cook it lightly, add a little sugar, it pops the flavors, and then you can do everything from putting it on ice cream to putting it in a pie.
This is a woman who knows, who should know. Amy Iazzoni, professor of horticulture at Michigan State University, who specializes in tart cherry production. We've been talking about Michigan's cherry industry and the science behind it. Thanks for joining us, Amy.
Thank you.